So we're continuing in our series on the vision and values, on what it means to be a church without barriers. And last week we looked at Zechariah chapter 2 and how God was going to repopulate the place, be the protection for people and be the very present there in Jerusalem, which would become a city without walls because of all that God was doing. And so we're moving from that kind of general discussion of God kind of being the presence and the church without barriers into the motivating factors for being a church without barriers. And we see those in our values: fullness, freedom, openness, welcome, generosity, and willingness. And we'll learn to say those together as we go on. And so as we begin this morning, I wonder what comes to your mind as you think about what it means to be full. See, it seems to me that the world doesn't really understand fullness, because the way I see things is that people seem to wander around with this profound sense of emptiness. There's always a sort of longing for something, sort of fueled by either consumerist urges and advertisements, or maybe a deep desire for a perfect family, which is perfectly wonderful, but it's never going to work out because it's always dependent on somebody else. Perhaps it's fueled by the desire for people to like you. You just want to be liked. Or maybe even we're perfectionists, and so we're never full because we never achieve these things. And it all seems to me that it's a bit symptomatic of this emptiness, and it kind of comes from a desire to be filled from outside a person's self. If you remember the illustration of the glass, the last time we talked about this, the glass can't fill itself. It's got to be filled from another source. Now, when we think about the Bible has a lot to say about fullness. It talks about the fullness of time, the fullness of law. It even talks about abundance, which is great. That's not necessarily what we're focusing on today. What we're talking about is another thing that the New Testament particularly emphasizes when it talks about fullness, is this idea of essence of being, being full in our essence, in ourself almost. So this is what we're thinking about more today. When we're full, we're in Christ. And when we're in Christ, we are full of the Spirit. And when we're full of the Spirit and in Christ, we are growing in love. And so we're going to look at each one of these things to help us understand a little bit more about what it means to be full. So we're full in Christ. We look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We see that Paul writes, he says, "For in him," that's Jesus, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And again, we have a similar thought in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority." Paul is declaring here that everything that you see in Christ is God, because the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ. When you look at Christ, when you look at Jesus, you see God, but yet you also see the man. It is the mystery of the incarnation. So if we're going to be a church without barriers, if we're going to be a place where God is present and he is protecting and repopulating us, that then means we must follow the person who founded us, our founder, who is Jesus. And this is what we mean by discipleship: following Jesus so that we look like him in our character and in our lives. Following Jesus so that we look like him in our character and in our lives. That is discipleship. And Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. And you have come to fullness. So today we can be encouraged that we have come to fullness when we came to faith in Christ. So that means in Christ we have authority over the spiritual powers of the air. We have the ability to take thoughts captive. We have the ability to be good people. We have the Spirit living within us. We have the assurance of salvation for eternity. We can be a disciple of Jesus in every possible way. When we're in Christ, we can be full. And indeed, we are full. However, it doesn't stop there. That's just the beginning. We move on to talk about the idea of being full of the Spirit, being full in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 18 to 20 says this, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we talked about the glass as the illustration at the beginning, we see that the glass cannot fill itself. It has to be filled from an outside source. And the same is true for us spiritually. We can't fill ourselves with the Spirit. It's something that he has to do. And then Paul talks about this idea of don't be drunk with wine, because wine intoxicates a person. It takes over their being for a while. And they are, as we use the expression quite often, under the influence. So Paul uses that analogy with the Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with wine under the influence of alcohol, but be drunk with the Spirit almost. He says, be under the influence of the Spirit and under God's influence always. See, when we're filled with the Spirit, all our desires are set on God and on God alone. All our actions are based on God. We can submit to God and to each other. It makes life easier. Forgiveness. We can do something like forgiveness. Even though it's difficult at times, it can become more natural for us. And lastly, when we're filled with the Spirit, love for God and our neighbour becomes a way of life. Something that naturally happens. A great example of this, because I was trying to think about ways in which we could have a good example for this, and I thought of the missionary Jackie Pullinger, who she came to faith at a young age, always felt that she was called to be on the mission field and to go out and share Jesus with everybody. She thought that's the way she believes, that if you're a Christian, that's what you should do. And she spent the majority of her life in Hong Kong. She got on a boat at the kind of urging of a vicar. She asked the vicar, said, I feel called to the mission field. None of the agencies will have me. I want to go. What should I do? And this vicar was very wise, and he just said, get on a plane and get off wherever you feel God's telling you to. And so she got off in Hong Kong. And she spent her life among the drug addicts and the prostitutes in the forbidden walled city. It's an illegal city. And it was rife with this kind of crime, with prostitutes and drug addicts and drug trade and all the rest of it. And I watched an interview with her a few years ago, and she was asked by the interviewer about how people might have more faith. And her response was this, you have to become more desperate. The desperation comes when you don't have enough. For example, if you find yourself in a place where people don't have enough food, then you pray for food to be multiplied. If you're in a place where there people are sick and there aren't any doctors, then you pray for healing. And so on. And she says, we have to go to the poor, because when we go to the poor, we realise we don't actually have enough to give them. We don't have enough to give them from our own resources of our heart, from the resources of our stamina or our money or even our generosity. And she said the idea is that you go where you run out so that he can give you more. And so if we want to be full, it seems to me that the spiritual principle is that we've got to be empty. And I think this follows the example of Jesus perfectly. And as we see in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited for his own ends, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. Jesus emptied himself. And if we really want to see people coming to faith, we need to be filled with the Spirit. But if we really want the filling of the Spirit, then it means that we need to be empty. What does that mean? That means that it's time to rid ourselves of these selfish things, selfish ambitions that get in the way of all that God wants to do in and through us. You see, Jackie Punja was asked about the times when difficult things are happening, and does she scream at God? She kind of instantly balked at this and said, no. And she said no about 9 times. And she said, if I'm screaming at God, that implies that my life is about me. And she says, if I'm still around, it's not for me, it's for them. I exist for them, for the other people. And so if we're going to be full of the Spirit, if we're going to be church without barriers, we need to rid ourselves of this preoccupation that seems to be so important to people nowadays, of becoming our best self. Well, friends, our best self is emptying of the human selfish side of us and actually surrendering to Jesus to look like Jesus, part of that discipleship that we were talking about earlier on. It means emptying ourselves of everything else but love. And so we need to be full of the Spirit. But the final thing that I want to just talk to us about this morning is that we need to grow in love. If we read together in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 8, it says these things. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Thus, he has given us, through these things, his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust, and may become participants of the divine nature. For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says to the church, make every effort to support your faith. The emptying doesn't just happen because we prayed a prayer. The emptying doesn't just happen kind of at a whim. It's something that we've got to work at. For example, new Christians. Sometimes when you meet a new Christian, they're just full of it. And they kind of take you aback because you're like, whoa, what has got into this person? Well, we know Jesus has got into this person. But even though that may be the case, we often find that old habits don't die very easily in them. They might still swear. They might still smoke. They might still, have problems with alcohol, or they might still treat people in a way that's not quite correct, but it's because they haven't grown into it yet. You don't get everything at once when you become a Christian. We have to work at it. And this is how we do it, by identifying with the poor. Because when we do that, we realise that we need Jesus just as much as everyone else. It's no good going to the rich. You go to the rich and you'll spend all your time wanting to be like the rich, wanting to have all of the creature comforts that the rich people have. Well, you'll spend all your time wanting to be like them. But actually, God says, go to the poor. Because when you go to the poor, you realise, oh, I need this just as much as they do. Just as much as the poor need to be fed, so I need Jesus. Just as much as somebody needs a healing, so much so do I need Jesus. And so on. And that in that list of qualities that Peter says to add to our faith, the last two things he adds there are mutual affection and love. And he talks about mutual affection and he says, this is brotherly love. This is kindness in the Christian family. It's not something that actually comes naturally, but it's something that we have to work at. And this is part of being Christian unity. And we've got the week of prayer for Christian unity coming up in a week's time. On Saturday, that will start. And that's because there's not several different churches in Westbury. There's one church, and it's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not just All Saints and the Methodist Church and the URC and CLG and West End. It's one church. We all belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. And we all need to work at this idea of being one church and of being kind to each other. Over Christmas, we bought ourselves a book to read over at Christmas Eve as a family. Because we were so taken by it, we thought it was a brilliant thing to have a look at. And it's a book by Charlie Mackesy, who's a famous Christian artist. And it's called The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse. And there's a page in it where it's the boy talking to the mole. And the mole asks the boy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the boy replies, I want to be kind. And quite simply, that is what we need. If we're going to have brotherly love for one another, we need to be kind. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We need to be kind. And in fact, patience goes a long way. Generosity goes a long way. Faithfulness and self-control goes a long way when we're dealing with each other. You know, the world is a cruel and mean place. The last place people need to see that is in the church. We need to be kind to one another. The second thing that I want to pull out from that list, that final thing that Peter puts in that list to add to your faith is love. And this is not just any kind of romantic love. This is that self-same love of Christ that we see in Philippians chapter 2, that agape love. It's sacrificial giving of oneself for the sake of the other. The other, of course, being God and your fellow human beings. It's that self-giving, that sacrificial giving up of yourself. Because your life doesn't exist or revolve around you. It's about God. It's about other people. Because without this, someone has remarked, without this love, our faith is virtually meaningless to ourselves and to the world. And it's a sentiment that Paul echoes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he's talking about love as one of the greatest gifts in particular. He says, you know, I can say and do all these wonderful things, but without love, there is absolutely no point to it at all. So if we're going to be a church without barriers, we've got to grow in love. We've got to learn what that means to grow in love. And it means giving up our pride, our wants, our selfish desires for the purposes of learning to prefer the other. In that, as Graham Kendrick writes in that final verse of From Heaven You Came, each other's needs to prefer. It's very countercultural to our human fallen nature. But it's what we're called to as believers in Christ, to grow in love. And so To close then, I believe that God has been calling us to shed the barriers that we have. And the first motivation for this is fullness. Because we see in Christ what it means to be full of God. But if we've got the barriers up, we don't allow God to come in. If we've got the barriers up, we can't be filled with the Spirit. If we've got the barriers up, we can't love. When Jesus came, he came to shed all of those human barriers, as we said last week from Pope Francis, with mercy. Mercy is the dynamite that blows down all the walls. Christ came to blow down all those barriers and show us what it means to live this full life. And so as we finish, I want to leave you with a final verse from Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I don't know what God has been saying specifically to you. Maybe there have been some barriers that have been raised in your life recently and you're struggling to know how you can be full or how you can let that barrier down. This morning, make a response to what God is saying and allow the Spirit of God to lead you into that place of at least maybe knocking one barrier down. Let's spend a moment together in quiet, just to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father God, we thank you for sharing with us Jesus, the one who shows us who is God and what it means to be full. And Lord, if there are those of us that feel empty today for whatever reason, pray that we would know the filling of the Spirit. And Father, if we are full of things that we shouldn't be full of, I pray, Lord, that we would undergo an emptying so that we might be filled with the Spirit to show Jesus to the world. And Father, if there are barriers up, come, Jesus, with your mercy and blow the barriers down so that we might live full lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.